Welcome to the Sports Law Biz Podcast, dedicated to helping people better understand the law and business of sports. I'm your host, Peter Ott, and we've got a lot to talk about here today, so why don't we just jump in? Hello, this is Peter Ott with the Sports Law Biz Podcast. I'm here today with Brian Sokolow, the co-chair of the sports group at Loeb & Loeb LLP in New York. Brian is a UVA law alumnus and has built a career representing players, teams, events owners, media companies, equipment manufacturers, and many others in the sports industry. I'm excited to have you here with me today, Brian.
Great to be here, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Brian's very active in the sports law world. I know you go and attend the Sports Lawyers Association events and things like that. So we've interacted a couple times over the past couple years. So for people who are listening to this podcast, you might see him around at some of those events. I gave a brief bio of you, but is there anything else you'd like to tell us about yourself before we get started?
Well, just a little bit. By way of background, I've been at Loeb & Loeb for the last 21 years. Loeb & Loeb is a national law firm. I'm in the New York office and, as you mentioned, co-chair of our sports practice group. I know we're going to get into it during the course of the podcast. Our sports practice group is a very varied group that engages in all type of transactions across the sports industry. My practice focuses on media aspects of sports, technology aspects of sports, and anything relating to marketing, endorsements, and different transactions of that nature, as well as representing equipment manufacturers, media companies, advertising agencies, and others who are involved in the sports industry. It's a very broad practice at our firm, and we do a lot of interesting and exciting things.
Okay, well, yeah, no, that sounds interesting. And yeah, today we're going to talk about your career, the kind of work you do, and what it's like to practice quote-unquote sports law at a law firm like Loeb & Loeb. I guess just to start off, how did you get started working in sports law? Was that something that you planned on when you went to law school, or did it just kind of happen?
It actually was not something that I planned on. And to answer the question, I'll back up a bit. I had always been involved with sports growing up, whether it be playing sports or writing about sports. And even after college, I actually got my first job as a sports writer for World Tennis Magazine. So I was very much involved in the sports world, and that was really my passion. But as I decided to go to law school, I loved being involved with sports, but I thought that as a lawyer, I'd be doing other things and enjoy them just as much. So when I went to law school and then after law school, I really didn't expect to get into sports law and work in that field. I thought I'd do other things, and I actually started out my career doing other things. I started out doing litigation, which I really enjoyed, given that it involved reading and analysis and things of that nature. And as I did litigation and I focused on certain areas there, I got into some other areas, intellectual property. And during the course of my career, I really realized that I missed sports. And I was fortunate enough during the course of my career at Loeb & Loeb to be able to combine that passion that I still had for sports with the work that I was doing as a lawyer. I had been doing a lot of work in intellectual property, a lot of work in contracts, and a lot of work in media. Those are areas that my firm really has significant expertise in. So as I was gaining the substantive skills and the knowledge of those areas, I decided that I really wanted to apply them to sports and how much I continued to enjoy sports. So that's what I was able to do, and that's really where I focused my career for about the last 12 or 15 years.
And I know I've talked to some people who say, oh, you know, you think you like sports, but you know, in a legal context, you know, you're doing your work and it's just the client is a sports client. And it's not quite as, you know, sexy or exciting as you think it's going to be. It sounds like that's not how you found it to be in your experience.
No, I've actually really enjoyed all the sports matters that I've worked on, even if it's otherwise mundane things. I've been involved in some really exciting sports matters involving high-profile teams or leagues or athletes, but I've been involved in other things that aren't like that. But I've enjoyed them all because it has the connection to sports. For me, even doing the most mundane legal task, if it involves sports, I've enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, that's just good to hear. Different people have different experiences there. In your day-to-day work, you do some work with sports. Is it your entire practice focused on sports-adjacent clients and issues, or do you do other things still as well?
I do some other things as well. My practice is really an intellectual property-based practice, and I focus that on sports. So most of what I do is in sports, but there are some things that I don't. As I mentioned, I had my background doing litigation, anything from intellectual property litigation to real estate litigation to technology litigation, and I'm happy to still help my partners whenever they have any sort of litigation in those areas. But when it comes to growing my own practice and focusing the time that I can on different clients, that's where I'm able to focus it on sports and apply my time in that way.
And so when you apply your time, how is that? Do you, you know, are you in meetings? Do you go to court? What's a typical work day look like for you?
Occasionally, I'll still go to court. I do a lot of counseling with clients. So that's usually by phone, sometimes in meetings. Whatever issue they have, I'll work with them on it and come up with a plan to deal with it. Sometimes it's getting out ahead of an issue and dealing with something affirmatively and trying to help a client grow. Sometimes it's dealing with a problem that's come up and figuring out what to do about it. But in each case, to me, the best thing about doing that is really being in the role, which I've fortunate to really have come into more recently, is being the trusted advisor to clients. I still write the letters and look at documents and do all the things that lawyers do and lawyers have to do to continue to be good at their craft and to provide value to their clients. But in addition to doing those things, I've been fortunate to become the trusted advisor to my clients and really help them figure out how to deal with whatever issue that they have. For me, that's probably the best part about being a lawyer, that I get to really have that type of role with clients. That to me is it's a lot of fun to be able to practice my trade that way.
Yeah, no, and that's important as well. You know, if you can get in this advisory situation, you can hopefully avoid, you know, if you counsel your clients, you can avoid them getting into litigation issues or things like that. And so if you have a good lawyer that you can trust and depend on, that kind of counseling is very helpful, I imagine, to clients.
It is. And as I mentioned, Peter, a lot of what I do is intellectual property based. And sometimes I describe myself as a brand lawyer in the sports industry because I work with basically brands. Some of them are well-established, iconic brands. Some of them are less well-established, maybe even young brands. And what I try to do is help those clients establish their brand, protect their brand, and grow their brand. And that takes a different forms depending on the client and depending on the transaction or the issue that comes up. But that's basically what I try to do, and that's where I get to be a trusted advisor, essentially helping out with that type of brand strategy and brand growth.
Okay. Representing a variety of different brands, I imagine some of them might be, you know, I guess either directly or indirectly in competition with each other, right? And how do you deal with that as far as your responsibilities to different clients if you're advising them on different strategies and things like that?
Yeah, I guess maybe in the very broad scheme of thing, they're in competition with each other in that they have a brand and they're out there in the marketplace and competing with many, many other brands in that marketplace. Very rarely have I been in the situation where I have two clients who are in direct competition with each other. And as you know, as a lawyer, you have ethical conflicts and you can only represent one side in a transaction. And if you happen to represent both clients in a transaction, you might not be able to represent either side. I've run into that situation very occasionally. Most of the time, that's not an issue. And the sports industry, as you know, is a very wide area. There are many different things going on. So most of the clients that I work with, even if they have some sort of interaction with each other, it's not in any sort of adversarial way, and we're able to navigate what my role is for those clients.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, that's interesting. I guess moving on to a different kind of question, you talk about how you advise people over the phone in meetings, things like that. I'm curious how your experience in working with these clients and counseling them over time has changed. I'm a transactional attorney, and I know the people I work with, you know, I'm always running comparisons of documents and analyzing them and seeing what's different and whether we can accept that. And you know, some of the people who've been around a lot longer than me, they talk about, you know, that's all done by computer. And it's still a bit of a tedious task sometimes, but, you know, some of these people say, oh, we used to do it by hand, you know, we're crossing out things and cutting out pieces of paper to show the differences and things like that. And I think, wow, that's different. I imagine you've seen some changes over your career as well. How's your interactions with clients and your work changed over your career?
I've seen a lot of changes over my career, and without making myself feel too old, remember when I first started practicing law out of law school, I was at a large law firm, and you had to make a request as an attorney, as a junior attorney, to get a computer. So if you could imagine now any lawyer in any law firm not having a computer just given to them on the first day and without any question, you can see how far we've come. There have been tremendous changes. It used to be way back when, in my day, you would finish things up at the end of the day in time to meet the Federal Express deadline, because that's the only way that you could get a copy of a document to somebody so they could even look at it the next day. Now we use a PDF and electronic distribution of documents that makes things instantaneous and much easier. So the practice of law generally, I think, in those ways has become a lot more efficient as we become more dependent upon technology. I generally think that's a good thing. It's good for the clients, it's good for the lawyers. And as I sometimes say, technology is great when it works. And at my firm, I'm fortunate in that we have great IT support and the technology works to support us, but it changes every day. And part of the challenge that probably any practicing lawyer has is keeping up with the new technologies that are available to help make our job easier. I know that I see new things, it seems like every day or every week at my firm along those lines, and I have to figure out how to use them, incorporate them into my practice so that I continue to stay as efficient as possible.
Okay, but the actual substantive things that you're doing have stayed the same generally over time?
Yeah, they're similar. As a lawyer, you do similar things. Basically, we're giving legal advice and helping clients solve legal problems. That has not changed. That's the same from when I started practicing law. The technology allows us to do it in different ways and maybe do it more efficiently, but we're still doing the same thing. How we communicate with our clients about that legal advice that we're providing has changed dramatically. A lot of what I do these days is by email, or clearly a lot by phone, and a lot less by in-person meetings. But still, we are, in our profession, tasked with providing legal advice to clients and helping them solve legal problems. And that's still what I do every day that I practice law, figuring out what the issues are for the client, helping decide what the outcome should be from a legal perspective and how that interacts with the business goals that the client has, and trying to help them reach good decisions.
Okay. And you said earlier that you represent a variety of different brands. Sometimes they're more established, sometimes they're emerging. I'm curious how you interact with clients, how you meet a potential client, things like that. I said earlier, you know, you're very involved in various organizations and speaking events. You do some writing as well. Is that kind of how you stay in that world, or is it client referrals? Somebody refers you to somebody else. How do you meet clients that way?
All of the above. And really, part of that question is, what are the key things for practicing law in my case, a large national law firm these days? And the demands on many partners have expanded from what they were when I started practicing law. Way back then, if you were an attorney at a law firm, you might not have thought about developing business and helping to generate revenue for your clients. The firm did that. It was just an established practice. These days, it's very different, and at many law firms, for many partners, the practice of law is a lot more like a business that relies on generating revenue. So it is constantly part of my daily routine to think about what I'm going to do to make myself a better lawyer and be able to generate more revenue by attracting new clients and continuing to provide value to current clients. The ways that I do that, a lot of what you mentioned. First, it's positioning yourself to, when it comes to new clients, to meet decision makers for those clients. Going to conferences where the right type of decision makers in the legal industry might be. So going to sports conferences, writing articles or speaking so that your name can be really established as a leader in the industry, a thought leader in some cases. Referrals are an extremely important part of my business. Whether it be law school classmates, college classmates, people that I've met along the way practicing law, friends, family, or otherwise. Really, I try to use every type of business generation technique that is out there to generate business. And it's a never-ending process. I'm always trying to do that. I'm always focused on that because, as it is with many other businesses, for me, at least, if I stop doing those things, then I'm probably not putting myself in a good position to continue to be a productive lawyer.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I guess that's not unique to sports either. You know, whatever you're doing, you want to be constantly engaged, constantly growing, constantly learning and interacting with people in your field. But Yeah, definitely it's something I've seen in you and other, prominent sports lawyers that got to be in that world constantly because, things are changing and so you got to be on top of that. So,
Have to be on top of that all the time. And I tell junior attorneys at my firm, from the time that they start working as a lawyer, they should be thinking about what they can do to develop their own client base. Now, it's not for everybody, and that's fine. Some people choose not to make that a focus of their career, and that's fine. And there are certainly plenty of lawyers who don't work in law firms who it's not an issue for. But for the people that I work with in my law firm, I want to make sure that they're attuned to that issue. When I was going to law school, it was really not something that we focused on, and maybe rightly so, but in law school, we focused on learning the law and understanding how to analyze legal issues and help clients that way. But as a lawyer at a law firm, part of what you need to do is recognize it as a business. And like you said, you have to adapt or die and constantly be aware of what's happening in the industry and make sure that you are try to be out front in those areas. And that's another way that you can really provide value to your clients is by staying engaged, being out there, understanding what the trends are. And really, you're a better lawyer because of it. And I think that's the case for me, certainly.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, thanks for that perspective. I think, like you said, in law school, maybe that's not something you focus on, and sometimes people get so focused on what they're doing. You want to be a good lawyer, obviously, so you need to focus on the work you're doing. But as you grow and are trying to expand your career, there's a lot of other things that you got to be keeping track of as well. And so I think that's important that people realize that, particularly working at a law firm and trying to interact with clients and things like that.
And even in sports, it's absolutely true. So much, or at least in my practice, of what's going on in sports now is related to different changes in technology, and whether it be virtual reality, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, other things that are happening in sports. So I find it necessary to and enjoyable to learn about those things and speak with those who are really at the forefront in the sports industry on those issues. It makes me more valuable to my clients, and certainly interesting to learn about all these new things that are going on too.
Right, yeah, and it's not just a cold calculated, oh, how can I get a client? There's a lot of interesting things out there and interesting people to talk to as well. So, it's good in all aspects, I imagine.
Absolutely true.
Okay, so I guess as we're getting ready to start wrapping up here, what things do you enjoy about your work, and what are some things that you think are challenges that people need to be aware of if they're interested in pursuing a career in sports law at a big law firm?
Well, I think in terms, I'll start with the challenges, and I think we really touched on that by talking about the issue of what it means to work in a law firm where it's law as a business and what you must do as a lawyer. And I think the big challenge for lawyers coming up, and even for lawyers of my generation and other generations, is to see the practice of law in a law firm as a business. And that takes different skills than just being able to find the Supreme Court case and cite Supreme Court precedent. So that I think is a big challenge that lawyers and even law schools have these days. And in terms of what I enjoy most about my job, well, I enjoy just about everything that I do. Practicing law, as you know, it can be a difficult job in a law firm. There are time pressures. There are pressures from clients about hourly billing rates and everything else. And there are certain things that I'd rather not have to deal with as a lawyer, but it's all part of the experience of practicing law in a law firm and really being a business person out in the business world. So I've really learned to, for those things that I might not be good at or didn't enjoy, to really understand how I can turn them into positives and help really use issues, whether it be, for example, billing rates. Sometimes a difficult discussion with clients, I tell them what my rate is, and you have to find out if they can even afford you. I try to turn it into a positive and try to demonstrate to a client how it is that I want to essentially partner with them and help them grow their business. And an open discussion about billing rates is one way to do that. So sometimes those discussions aren't always easy, and those types of issues aren't always easy, but they're an important part of really being in the business of practicing law.
Yeah, and that's another consistent theme when I've talked to people on this podcast or otherwise. Some of these things they're not for everybody, and people might feel uncomfortable doing them, or it's not why they went to law school or whatever. But others, like you, they take those things, they can make that into something that can be interesting in and of itself and a challenge. And again, a lot of these principles apply not just to sports law, but kind of just to life in general. There's just different ways you can approach situations, and that idea of taking this thing that potentially could be, you know, boring or awkward and making it a challenge and something that you're working with actively with clients. I really think that's an important thing for anybody who's trying to grow their career. So yeah, thank you for that.
I tell attorneys that I work with, every interaction that you have with clients and also prospective clients, whether it be delivering a legal memo, discussing an issue, or in some cases, sending a bill, it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to do something to further your relationship with that client or prospective client. And that's certainly how I look at it.
Okay, well, yeah, no, thanks for that advice. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we finish up here?
The only thing is just to say to you personally, Peter, that how much I've enjoyed, first enjoyed meeting you at the University of Virginia Sports Law Symposium a couple of years ago, and that I've really enjoyed following your career, and congratulate you on doing this podcast and wish you all the success in the future.
Okay, well, yeah, thanks a lot. It's, you've been kind of, you know, from afar, a bit of someone to look up to for me, so it's I'm glad that I could get you on this podcast and we could talk about your career. Well, yeah, thanks for being on Sports Lobby's podcast, and well, I'm sure we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for having me, Peter.
This has been an episode of the Sports Lobby's podcast. This podcast is available through the Sports Lobby's website or through iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Before wrapping things up, I'd like to thank some people. First of all, I'd like to thank my friend, Lieb Montoya, for designing the Sports Law Biz podcast logo, as well as the Sports Law Biz blog logo. His artistic ability certainly surpasses mine. If interested, you can check out more of Lieb's work on Instagram and Twitter. His handle is @LiebMontoya in both places. That's @LIB Montoya. Additionally, I'd like to thank the musical artist for providing this theme music that you're listening to right now. The artist is a band called The Losers. The album is entitled Young, Tough, Terrible. The track is Sports with an exclamation point. The label is Needle Drop Co. This music is available through a Creative Commons license of Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported. This podcast was produced and recorded by myself, Peter Ott. And you can reach me at my personal Twitter handle, @PeterJOTT, through the Sports Law Biz Twitter handle, @SportsLawBiz, or through email at sportslawbizblog@gmail.com. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you are interested in contributing to either the Sports Law Biz blog or podcast, definitely reach out to me. I love to talk to people about these issues, and I know I can use all the help I can get. Finally, I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If so, please spread the word and let your friends and colleagues know about it. Leave a review on iTunes. Any way you can spread the news about this podcast would be greatly appreciated. That's our episode today. Tune in next time to learn more about the law and business of sports. Looking forward to discussing it with you on the Sports Law Biz podcast.